Good to have you in church this morning on this Mother's Day. Turn with me in your Bibles, Galatians chapter 1. We're going to jump right in what we love to do. We're doing a new study. If you're new with us, we preach verse by verse. We go through books of the Bible. We may pause here and there, but we love to go through. The current book we're going through is the book of Galatians. And today, on Mother's Day, we're going to talk about a legacy that lasts. A month ago, Pastor Stacy and I were going through Galatians 1 together, and we stumbled across this passage, and then it became a little bit of a tug of war. Good, she's not in here, I can say this. It became a tug of war who got to preach on this Sunday, and she was so busy with the women's and the girls' brunch yesterday, she finally just said, I really can't take this on, but I know I'll do better than you. So the challenge was thrown and it's been accepted. So I want to speak today, and I know I'm going to hear it this afternoon. I know I could do better, but we're going to see about that. This will be fun, but we'll talk about a legacy that lasts. And before just jumping in, next Sunday, there is another passage. As we've been going through this privately, there's just been things we just feel like God's just keep showing, and even today is an evidence of that. If you have a friend or a coworker who's in a stage of life that is, you could describe it as a wilderness season, or it's such a tough season, that discouraging season, that it would be one that, does anybody even see me? Because have you ever been in those moments where you're in a season that is so difficult, and yet everyone is doing their own life, and yet you're drowning? And you feel like, if I could just scream so that people could see some of the pain inside, but we won't want to do that. But yet inside you do. And so if you have a friend that's going through a season that is just difficult, you will want to invite them to be here next Sunday. I'm telling you, it will be a powerful message you will not want to miss next Sunday. But guess what? We've got a word from God for this Sunday, a legacy that lasts. So look at it as we're going through Galatians. In fact, just as way of review, Paul is at this point starting to speak to the church in Galatia, and who they have been basically substituting the true gospel with a false gospel. And there is a group of Judaizers who were Jews who believed that you come to know Jesus, you come to faith, you have to, in salvation, you have to, by faith, trust Jesus. But these Judaizers then said, then you are saved to go back to your old life as a Jew. So once you're saved, in order to stay saved, to grow, you have to go back to all the traditions and do everything and in order to be saved. So they added to the gospel, they added to the work of Jesus. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10 says this, obviously I'm not trying to win approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. Paul's laying out to them, look, I'm not trying to please you. I'm going to shoot straight with you. You've substituted the true gospel for a fake gospel. And he goes, if I was even going to try to appease people, I would have never come to Christ. I would have been out doing my old life, which we're going to learn about even as we go through this message. So Paul is challenging them and reminding them that if you add to the gospel, if you distort the gospel, you end up with no gospel at all. And Paul continues his appeal to the church to wake up. Look at it in verses 11 through 12. Dear brothers and sisters, I want you to understand the gospel message I preach is not based on mere human reasoning. I received the message from no human source, and no one taught me. Instead, I received it as a direct revelation from Christ Jesus. See, Paul went to great lengths to make sure that when they received the gospel, and when Paul had traveled to this area, it wasn't because of a well-crafted speech. It wasn't because of his charisma. It wasn't because of his knowledge. Even though he could bring great logic, because Paul knew the law. Paul was one of the leading teachers and rabbis of his time. But Paul was, and when he came to Christ, it was a radical transformation. And he's making sure that it's like, look, it's not by anything I did. God revealed it to you. And it's helping to understand that the grace that God offers is through his son, Jesus Christ, and we are to walk in it. It's a spiritual work by faith in Christ alone. And he shares this to the Ephesian church. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that we've done. So none of us can boast about it. See, this morning, as we look at the four verses we're going to look at coming up, we're going to start off in verse 13. It's a reminder of God's grace. And to continue that it's only by God's grace that we are saved. Paul shares his own life example, being changed by grace. Look at verse 13. You know what I was like when I followed the Jewish religion. How I violently persecuted God's church. I did my best to destroy it. I was far ahead of my fellow Jews in my zeal for the traditions of my ancestors. But even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Then it pleased him to reveal his son to me so that I would proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles. When this happened, I did not rush out to consult with any human being. See, word travels fast. Especially in our day to day, you could have an event and share it and it goes viral. Kind of like a baby reveal yesterday. And so glad Matt had good shots. He missed the first one. And I'm sitting there going, ooh, this could be long. We could be here for a half an hour, but Matt nailed it. But word travels fast in the day of instant messaging, video conferencing. I mean, we can know something of an event that's happening around the world at a moment. Back in this day, word still traveled, just not quite as fast, but word would travel mouth to mouth. People would start to talk, and Paul had a life that people talked about because there was such a difference in him. And Paul was one of the leading Pharisee and haters of Christians. In his past, he wreaked havoc on any Christian believers and the church. And in fact, look at it, Acts chapter 8, verse 3. But Saul was going everywhere to destroy the church. He went from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them into prison. So I want you to capture this. He's going with a passion to go house to house, disrupting, breaking down doors, whatever it took to get in, to find any believer he could find. So some points we can paint too nice of a rosy picture, but this man was violent. And when they were being dragged out of the house, it wasn't like a nice carrying. It's dragging them against their will, probably by the scalp of their head. Whatever force it would take to get them out of the house, they would use it. Goes on, and we can look at Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats and every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So with every breath, have you ever had those moments when you're talking and you're just so, like you're amped up, you can almost not get the words out, or you're so emotionally driven that it's like you're fumbling over yourself? This is where Paul's at, but he's foaming at the mouth. He's angry. He's ready to take in and tear into any. His mission, his hobby, like we're going to look at a ton of people's hobbies this Saturday at the car show, all right? The attention people give to the cars. Here's Paul's hobby. How can I destroy the church? How can I destroy it? And he would do it physically. He would do it through his teaching. He would do it in any way. He was going to try to destroy the faith of any believer, any trust that they would have in the church. That was Paul's life and mission. In our passage today, Paul recounts his testimony. And what's so amazing, just to add some flavor to this, I want to read the passages, verses 13 through 17, in the New King James Version, because it just gives a little different contrast to what we read. So go back with me. Let's look at verse 13. "For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it." His mission was to get rid of Christianity, and he didn't care how it was going to get done. Goes on in verse 14, "And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, me being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers." I love how he describes his intelligence. He's advanced, and he was. Paul was, he was steeped in knowledge. He was a very strong academic. He had his zeal, and what's interesting, that intellect was a snare to his relationship with God and really understanding him. Paul placed traditions over relationship. His zeal was misaligned, and it proved to be destructive. See, Jesus himself cautioned the Pharisees against consuming mindset like this. Matthew chapter 15, verse 3, Jesus replied, and he's speaking to the Pharisees, which is the same sect as Paul at the point before he came to Christ. "And why do you, by your traditions, violate the direct commandments of God?" See, for all of us, it's a good time and a good moment to reflect and evaluate where we are at. What ideas and traditions have we allowed, maybe some cultural norms that we've allowed, conveniences that would violate God's direct commands from living it out in our own life. It's so easy for us to be a Pharisee, just like Paul. But Lord, help us to live close to you and learn and walk in those direct commandments. But let's continue. Verse 15, Galatians chapter 1. But when it pleased God. See, now we see where Paul's life was revolutionized. It's at this moment. And this is what he wants his readers to fully grasp. It was his Father's doing. His preemptive plan that took Paul down a Damascus road. It was God's wisdom and the Spirit of Jesus living inside of him that gave him his credentials for apostleship. He didn't need anyone to confirm it. He simply allowed Jesus to reveal himself, and he followed God in God's plans for his life. So as we look at this passage, here was the part that stood out for Pastor Stacy and I as we were talking about this a month ago. Was look at it in verse 15 and 16. "But when it pleased God..." And here's our Mother's Day message. "Who separated me from my mother's womb." Interesting that Paul starts to bring that up. When God came in and revolutionized his life. And this is the legacy that lasts. I want to speak to the moms today, a couple thoughts of importance of moms. Because without the moms, and there's a separation that does occur. Because here's the thing, we do not stand in our relationship with God on our parents' merits. We don't stand before God in the faith of someone else. It's our own faith, our own trust in him. No one else's work will do it for you. Your parents can pray for you, but guess what? You own your own faith, right? And this is the part, it's not going to be our family's traditions that'll get us to heaven. And Paul starts to talk about this here, separating us from our mother's womb. But here's the great part, that on a Mother's Day where we just reflected and we went down this moment, because there's a part that, boy, we could have read right past this. And on Mother's Day, it's a good moment to put a pause. First, a couple thoughts. Moms, you are raising up who God has called. You give birth. We're all here because of a mom. Sorry, culture will try to say on the gender thing, all right? Women give birth. We are here because of a woman that gave birth to us. And yet, here's the important part on Mother's Day. You are raising up who God has called. God calls us. And he knows each and every person here online. He knows you before you were ever born. And this is why the Church of Christ is so strongly pro-life. It's because at the very moment you are conceived in your mother's womb, guess what? God knows you. He knows you. He knows your personality, what it will be on the outside. But guess what? He even knows the nuances at the moment in the womb. And he loves you. He has his eye on each and every one. And it's an important moment for moms that we can take back, because it's so easy. Because parenthood is not for the faint-hearted, all right? This isn't one that, hey, let's do it, and it's kind of like getting a toy. It is not that, right? Because of the time, the busyness of life, the pressures that come, time marches on. That little one that you hold in your lap one moment ends up asking for the keys to the car for the next. And then it's not too long after that, they have their own keys, and they're saying, hey, we'll see you when we get back again, whenever that is. It's crazy. It goes by way too quick. Parenting is not often glamorous, but here's the wonderful part. God's given us an opportunity to raise up children so that we can help them to step into their own relationship with God, that they can understand the specialness that God has in their thought for them. To every teenager in this room, man, I want you to know, this is why we have Calvary Kids, Calvary Youth. It is why we are passionate about having those ministries, to the extent that we would hire staff. It's because we want to come alongside the parent, but we want to walk life with you to let you know how important you are to God. That God loves you. God sees you. See, our kids may never be famous, but you know what? It's not the famous part that the world would look at. God considers every person just as equally as important. See, there'll be a time, there'll be a day our kids step out from under our roof in life with their opportunity to start to explore God's calling and purpose for their lives. And this is what Paul gets to: but as it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb. Moms, don't forget. You are helping your kids be able to come to that moment where that one day the Holy Spirit reveals to them and changes them. It's a relationship that comes by grace, not by family legacy. It's one of grace, not family traditions. It's one of grace. It's not because of a particular church. It's grace and grace alone. Secondly, God has a plan for your child. God has a specific plan. He has a purpose for every child. Scripture's clear. Some of these are going to be some of your favorite verses. Psalm chapter 139, I love verses 13 through 16. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in the utter seclusion. As I was woven together in the dark womb, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before every single day had passed. See, God speaks and shows us his love for every detail of our life. Jeremiah 1:5, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations. As God would speak to Jeremiah, he believes that of you. And sometimes, even as an adult, it's an important reminder how important each one of our life is. It's why I believe we have Mother's Day. Because as a culture, as a society, it's easy for us to forget the essential parts that a mom plays in our life. Moms, know that there's promise that God has for your child. Thirdly, and finally, God has a promise for you and your child, for both of you. Psalm 138:8, the Lord will work out his plans for my life. For your faithful love, O Lord, endures forever. Don't abandon me, for you made me. See, God knows how to get you and how to get your child to where they're supposed to be. So this is a promise. Parents, you don't have to live worried. You don't have to live frustrated. If you trust God, he will open the right doors. He'll bring the right people. He'll turn problems around. Another passage for many, Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Yet another very familiar one, and it is a promise, Proverbs 22:6, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Maybe you've done everything you know that you could for your kids, and you feel like it's going in every other wrong direction. Can I just offer an encouragement to you moms to keep praying, to keep believing, to keep believing that promise, because that promise is not only for your child, it is for you. Trust in him and watch him come through. Because here's the bottom line, we've all been chosen, and in his right time, God revealed it. Just as he did to Saul and did a transformative work that had even changed his name from the Hebrew Saul to the Greek word Paul. Our challenge is just at the right time, God will call our children. So back to our passage, Galatians chapter 1, look at verse 15 and 16. "But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him to the Gentiles." Paul simply allowed Jesus to reveal himself and followed the steps God placed in his path. If I could have the worship team come back. See, we all have skeletons in our closet, all right? We all have things that people might bring into question when we identify as being a follower of Christ. That other people might point out, "Oh, you're a follower of Christ, but..." And they might, you might have people that might be able to point, or you point, sometimes we're our own worst accuser. You can point to things inside that you know that no one else knows. But here's the part we can remember. And it's an important victory moment. And you might go, "Victory moment? Why?" Because it's the same opportunity that Paul had to explain who Jesus is and what he had done for my life. Paul goes, "You knew my former life, how I would beat people, how I would kill people. You saw the anger, you saw the zeal I lived with, but you also see the difference in me today." And it's a wonderful moment in time, even in the moment of instant messaging, social media, which all has its downside, but here's the good thing, word can travel fast. And what is the legacy we want people to know from our life? What legacy do we want our kids to keep watching as we keep growing in our own, and moving in our own faith? Let's start talking and showing the testimony of God's saving grace in our life, because that is a legacy that lasts. On this Mother's Day, it's the greatest thing, is a legacy that can truly last. And it's a legacy of walking a relationship with our God that's by his grace. So let me ask you a simple question today. What type of legacy do you want to leave behind? What legacy do you want to leave? Because here's the bottom line part. You're going to leave something. It's not that you can't leave something. You will. What will be remembered of you? How do you want to be remembered? What would you want to make sure is front and center when people think of you and what they will say? I can remember a couple years ago asking my mom that. Because there's parts you're going, you just never know how many more visits you get. And I remember asking her, "Mom, how do you want to be remembered? What are the things you want to be front and center when people think of you?" And she went, "Well, pretty simple, that I love my God and that I love my kids." What legacy do you want to leave your kids? Do they see it? Are you allowing God by his grace to transformative work your life? Because when we walk in that grace, and as we learned last week, there's a difference in ownership than owning and possessing? Are you possessing that grace in your walk with him? Because on this Mother's Day, when you walk in that grace, when you're possessing that, it's an amazing part that God will continue to transform you to love your kids even when you don't know what words to say. Because there's parts you don't want to, it feels like a simple word can start off a conflict. And you just want to just be able to say, God, help me by your grace to walk in your ways. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for this day. We praise you. Thank you for the moms that, Father, will cling to you, will trust you. Father, thank you for the moms that are doing that in this room and online. We thank you for the legacy that they leave. And God, we pray for all of us today. Father, help us to walk out that legacy today. Help us to know you in a personal relationship, because knowing about you and having a relationship are two different things. Lord, help us to open our hearts to you, be transforming our lives. With every head bowed, I have to ask this question on this Sunday morning. Have you come to the place that you've opened your heart and life to say, God, lead my life, save me? If you're here today, if you've not experienced a transformation in your life from Jesus, this is your moment. Have you come to a point beyond a prayer? Have you said, God, lead my life, be my only way of salvation? And have you seen a transformative change in your life? Jesus wants to do that in and through you. He wants to transform you. So if you're here today and maybe for the first time you need to decide to give your life to him, or maybe it's been a while and you've allowed other things to just cover things up and you need to rededicate your life to him, if that's you today, would you just look at my direction, because I want to pray with you and for you. Is there anyone today? Thank you. Thank you. Annie, thank you. Thank you. I want everybody to, here's the wonderful part. If that's you today, that step of faith, that trust is really always reflected at first in words of prayer, committing your faith to him. And I want to lead you in a prayer to start that relationship. And here's the wonderful part, that continued faith, when you leave here, you can always talk to him and God hears. But I want everyone, if that's you, to say this prayer with me, and I want everyone to repeat with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me and remembering me today. Not letting me live my life the same way. So forgive me of my sin, trying to do life my own way. I give you my life. I give you my heart. Lead my life. Be my Savior. Change my life from the inside out. I give it all to you. In Jesus' name, amen.